to do that by your Spirit, and we pray in your name. Amen. You may be seated. We're in 1 John chapter 4. We'll be looking at verses 7 through 19. And when we began the study of John's little short epistles, I was a little shy. I was shy because I knew John is going to elaborate upon the love of God and how we ought to love. John, he's known as the Apostle of Love, and he really gets into the agape love of the Lord, God's love. So let's have a big group hug. No, we'll back. But if you're like me, you've heard a lot of sermons on love, and it can get a little overbearing sometimes. But we're going to see this morning how John saw Jesus. He was a disciple of Jesus for 3.5 years, and he got to know Jesus intimately. And he really got his name, the Apostle of Love, from Jesus. But John is now going to talk about experiencing God the Father's love. And John wants us to understand, at least in part, that God the Father loves us tremendously. But God is more than just love, but John wants us to see, to experience the love of God the Father. And when our thoughts, and when we think upon our Lord, we're to know and understand he loves us. And that's a big statement for a lot of people. For a lot of people, place God in a position of being sovereign and stern and not so loving. But God is not only a God of love, he's holy. He says, "Be holy, for I am holy." He's all knowing. He's all powerful. He's present everywhere. David said, "If I descend into the abyss, he's there. If I go into the heavens, he's there." And he's not simply love. God has all the attributes. But John, he's going to examine some of the examples of how to describe God the Father and love. Agape love is what John will talk about. Agape love is love in action, love in behavior. It's doing the best for someone with no regard for the cost or no regard for the time. And you totally exclude yourself when you love in God's agape way. So let's start this morning with 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 through 11. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifest towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. In verse 7 and 8 there, we sometimes think we must earn God's love. We want to do things that would make God love us more. We must obey God's commands and so forth and so on. But to know God is to love one another. Let those words of John find a place in your heart. We love one another. Why? Because we are children of God. Not necessarily because of earning God's love or even obeying God, but because we are His children, we ought to love one another. True agape love comes forth from being born of God and knowing God. It's a natural outflow in a Christian's life to love one another. And John, he further explains this, if you do not love, you do not know God. That's pretty point blank. For the overabundance of love is God's main characteristic, for God is love. Now, many religions of the world, they take and they make God into this sovereign power, even a harsh authoritarian type God. And as God, He set us apart to be His people. He calls us children of God. Now, there's a very large religion in the world. Let's call them Muslims. And they live in fear of Allah. They fear God, not believing for a moment that God is approachable. The thought that an all-powerful God would reach out in love towards mankind, it is foreign to a Muslim. They just do not understand that. And even their teachers shy away from thinking that they have forgiveness from their God, Allah. So they teach the one way to receive heaven or paradise is to die a martyr. Here again, they put all the emphasis on what man must do. To give up your own life secures you in a place called paradise. And this teaching is very strong within the Muslim faith. Many young men follow the teaching of their imams to achieve paradise. They want to go to this place where they are given 70 virgins and so forth. Only Christianity reveals God reaching out to mankind, not mankind trying to reach God. Verse 9, God manifested. God showed us His love by sending His only begotten Son into the world that we, God's creation, might have life through Him. That is John's definition of love. And the closeness that is there between God the Father and God the Son, it's to bring forth a strong consideration in our hearts and minds of the unity of God and the love that God have for the Son has for the Father and vice versa. And Jesus constantly pointed out that He and the Father are one. Jesus said, I do nothing of my own accord. I only do what I see the Father doing. Such unity, such a bond, we really do not understand, I venture to say. Time and again, we read how Jesus sought out solitude to be with the Father. He would go and find a place of prayer to be alone with God the Father. He wanted to spend time with the Father. Jesus' disciples would often find Jesus in that alone place, a prayer where He's pouring out His heart to the Father. For Jesus, He lived, He took on flesh for one reason, being sent by the Father to give us, God's children, life. That was the purpose, that was the cause of Jesus. And John, he will use the word propitiation, being the reason, being the cause that Jesus came and took on flesh. Now, propitiation is a sacrifice that turns the wrath of God away from judgment of sinful man. We, being born a man, were born into sin. The curse of Adam came upon us, each and every one of us. But Adam and his sin did not stymie God. God had a plan from the very beginning, and it was a plan of redemption. And he sent Jesus, his only begotten Son, to be our propitiation, our substitute on the cross for our sins. In God's plan of redemption for all of mankind, there had to be this propitiation, this one that would sacrifice himself for all of sinful man. Jesus, sent by the Father for our propitiation or our pardon. Why? Because God the Father so loved us, mankind. That's a little difficult for us to sometimes realize, that God loved us so much to sacrifice his only Son. And when we realize the love of God and how he manifested it to us, it should bring forth love for one another. We should love because we realize how much God has loved us. Love, agape love we're talking here, should be a natural outflow of a Christian's life. Our lives should exhibit God's love. It is enough that we be like our God. The commands of the New Testament basically are this: love God and love one another. You summed up the whole New Testament right there. Love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love one another, and you're living out the New Testament. By loving, by truly caring for one another, is not only obedience, it should come forth naturally from our lives when we realize how much God loves us. Our all-powerful God chose to be known for love. Isn't that amazing? He didn't choose to be honored as sovereign or holy or all these. He said, I'm a God of love. And the entire Bible demonstrates the love of God, Old Testament and New. Jesus was always about showing the love of God the Father to man. Let's continue now in verses 12 through 16. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that God has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us, for God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. In verse 12 there, John gives us a truth, a reality. No one has ever seen God at any time. Paul wrote in 1 Timothy 1:17, now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible. God is spirit. He doesn't have a tangible body for us to touch or see or feel. And the disciples, remember when Jesus' disciples asked, show us the Father and that will be enough. And Jesus had an answer for them. If you've seen me, you have seen the Father. And now John tells us, God is known, revealed to us, his children, by love. Love is perfected in us. As God's children, he perfects his love in us. And that really simply means to be mature, to be fully mature in the love of God. We're to know God by abiding and realizing God's nature. We're to know God the Father by his love towards us. Moses, you remember Moses asked God if he could just see him. But God only showed Moses the backside of his glory. He put Moses in a cleft of a rock and he passed by and Moses got to see the glory that went away from him. He didn't get to see God himself. Jesus in his physical body was very ordinary. Purposely ordinary. Isaiah tells us, he was so ordinary that we would not even desire him in a physical way. He didn't have a beauty that attracted us to him. So for some of us, that means take down that painting on the wall of a well-dressed Jesus in his robes with sparkling blue eyes. Jesus didn't have sparkling blue eyes. He was a Jew. He had brown eyes. But anyway. But here's what John wants us to know. Jesus was sent to us, mankind, as a Savior, sent by a loving Father. Jesus is our physical image of God. For Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Jesus declared, all of my behavior is like God the Father. And God the Father chose to be known for love. Now for the conclusion, for the last two verses, we'll look at John 17 through 19, three verses. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There's no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Then verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. Love, when it's received, is perfected and it comes forth in boldness. And when judgments comes, we have no fear. We have boldness in Christ. When we are like in Christ and we abide in Christ, we demonstrate love. For the love of God, the agape love of God, casts out fear. So, we see many, many people in our world today that are living in fear. Fear of the coronavirus, fear of the economy being flat and so forth. We have no fear if we love God and his love abides in us. Judgment comes and has the element of us not measuring up, us not being what we should be, or judgment has torment to it. For the love of God is made perfect in us as children of our God in love. Many modern day marriage seminars will have the couples sit down, the married couples, and you're to write down good traits about your spouse. you know, and they take you through this. But no one writes down, oh, she's so pretty, or, oh, I have such a handsome husband. Now, that's superficial, and we know not to answer in those ways. And John, here in his epistle, he tells us, understand God. Go deeper into the goodness of God, our God of love, is portrayed very effectively by John, the apostle of love. In this, the love of God towards us, undeserving man, for while we were yet sinners, God loved us. And verse 19 sums up the love of God. We love him because he first loved us. The unseen God of this world chose to love us, and we have the privilege to love him in return. Amen. Amen.